remember the TV show Friends? Of course you do. Everybody does. But don't worry, I won't make you admit it. Let's just revisit the episode where Rachel decides to take up eating alone because all the other friends have plans.
I wish I was one of those people who could eat in restaurants alone. You should try it. It's a really good thing to do. I think I would feel really self-conscious, you know, like I was on display or something.
This is something I think most people who are scared to go out alone probably worry about. But Rachel goes ahead and gives it a try anyway, and she kind of likes it.
I just had a great time with myself.
Well, this could be a good story.
At dinner, so liberating, you know? I don't need people to have fun. I'm fun. I'm a fun girl.
Okay, that was a little bit defensive, but if you don't have a date this Valentine's Day, we are here to remind you that you don't need one to enjoy the restaurants of Kansas City. The food critics this morning are going to help you out with a few tips. Liz Cook of The Pitch, Carlton Logan of KC Food Guys, and Danielle Lehman with the Open Belly Podcast. Hi again. Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So before we launch into your recommendations, I've brought in a special guest from the newsroom, Kyle Palmer, to extol the virtues of eating alone as someone who likes to do it, much to the confusion of his wife. Hi, Kyle.
Yeah, I guess I'm being outed this morning, but go ahead. Fine.
Yes, you go to restaurants alone.
Yeah.
Explain.
Put it out there, yeah. So it might be just a vestige of growing up an only child. I relate to that Friends clip. I do not feel self-conscious when I'm out by myself eating alone. It's also the fact that, though I've recently switched positions here at KCUR.
Yes, you're the new news director. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. But before that, and even this morning filling in, I've been the AM newscaster for the last nearly 5 years. And so typically get off at about noon, 11:30 noon, which is, honestly, on a Friday, a great time to to leave work. But I've gotten in the habit of, like, stopping by someplace and having some lunch before I go home at, you know, noon, 12:30. And usually that's by myself.
So can you talk a little bit about the conversation in your home around this? Because it makes me wonder if there are two kinds of people, people who like to eat alone and people who cannot imagine why that would be interesting.
Are appalled by it?
Yeah.
As my wife is? Yeah. She is incredibly confused by why I would go out by myself intentionally to eat by myself. I explain I usually take something to read. So that might even like make me look even odder sitting there by myself with a book or with a magazine and reading over my whatever I'm eating. She totally cannot understand it. Again, getting back to, you know, nature, nurture. She grew up in a larger family than me. She has two sisters. I don't know if that plays a part in it. She's also just naturally more social than I am, more extroverted. And so she cannot imagine. She has to, like, find someone, one of her friends, or take one of our sons just so she's not alone. She knows she's going to have to stop by and get something to eat, or she'll take it to go and come home.
So have you found that there is any argument or explanation you've made that has kind of caused like a little light bulb to go on? Like, oh, maybe I get this.
You know, the beauty of someone who likes to eat alone is that I don't have to explain myself.
Ah!
So I think I have tried to get her to at least try. I'm sure I think she's done it at least once or twice. I think she's hated the experience. Long story short, I think I've given up trying.
Okay, but yeah.
And I don't feel like I need to justify myself anymore.
So now that we're done justifying your decision to eat alone, are there qualities you seek out when picking a place to eat alone?
If it's on my way home from work. You know, I will say this, just to plug a little bit of the work you all have done on this show. For a while, when I was morning newscaster, I would go through, like you did a show one time about brunches, or you did a show one time, I think, about breakfast sandwiches or something, or biscuits. And I would, for a while, I got in this kick of looking at the places that you all had recommended and like trying to check off all the different places. You know, so I would, you know, I'd go, I can't say them on air because I look like I'm promoting them, but I would go around to different places in Kansas City that the food critics here had recommended just as my little checklist of things that I could. And again, it was usually alone, but it was great. I enjoyed it a lot. So I got to know, you know, a lot of great restaurants around Kansas City and some of the offerings that they had.
Well, Kyle Palmer, thank you so much for explaining yourself here.
Don't judge me.
Okay. Kyle is KCUR's news director, helping to normalize dining out alone for our listeners. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about a place in Kansas City that's worked for you when you've gone out alone, and be sure to tell us why. 816-235-2888. Critics, there are different kinds of dining alone. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Liz, outline some kinds of dining alone and the needs that you kind of go into that with.
Yeah, so there are a couple of them. And kind of like Kyle, I love dining alone, and I'm kind of almost evangelical about it. Like, I think it's something that everyone should try and practice, I guess, for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons I love it is because I am just alone so seldom in my daily life, which I think is true of a lot of people. Like, maybe you have two jobs, maybe you have kids at home. Maybe the only time you're actually by yourself and able to kind of sit in quiet is when you're driving to work. So this is a time to completely carve out for yourself. So in that respect, maybe you want a restaurant that's a little bit quieter, a little bit lower key, where you can just kind of, you know, meditate in a way and focus on the food and tune out everything else.
And alone in a space where you don't have tasks. Like, if I eat alone in my house, there are a lot of things that I might be tempted to rush through my meal in order to get done, because they're like staring me down in my house.
Yeah, absolutely. And he noted that his wife doesn't love it. And I tell people all the time that I love dining alone, and I think my husband is annoyed by this. Like, he sees this as like a referendum on the quality of his company. But it's not that at all. I also think, like, another thing that's great about dining alone is that it's a way to practice self-confidence, because you do, at least I do, feel self-conscious sometimes. But if you're kind of okay just like sitting in that discomfort for a while, it'll fade and it'll get easier. And it's a great way to kind of, this sounds very cheesy, but like practice a radical act of self-love. Like, no, I deserve to take up this space just for myself and enjoy this good meal, even though I'm not in the company of friends.
Danielle, thoughts about eating alone in general and its virtues?
Yeah, so for me, I actually am much more extroverted, and I am usually alone all day at work. And so by the time I get off work, I'm ready for some interaction, and my husband is the opposite. He's very introverted, so when I get home, he's like, I just need a moment to myself. So I like going to restaurants by myself, getting a glass of wine at the bar, ordering takeout maybe to bring home, but to just kind of chit-chat with the locals and the bartender so I can have some adult interaction before I'm home with my child. And it's, for me, it's more of a social experience rather than being alone.
That's what I was kind of getting at with the idea of different kinds of eating alone, because there is this sort of like carving out a space for yourself version of it. And then there's the chit-chatting with the staff and people watching and enjoying the sort of liveliness around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can always get your neighborhood gossip at your local watering hole. I mean, it's a good time.
Carlton.
So at least twice a year, I have a day of solitude. One is usually either on my birthday or around my birthday. And then one just kind of falls wherever it falls. And it's my time to kind of look within, kind of have a moment to myself. And I enjoy it. I may even go to a couple movies, have lunch, dinner. And it's kind of my time to enjoy that space and celebrate, as Liz said, self-love. Like, that's my time to go, okay, so what's going on in my life? What do I need to focus on? What do I need to change? And while I'm there by myself, I don't have the distraction of people, and I can focus on the food, and I can taste the different layers, and it gives me that time to focus.
And you don't have to consider where anyone else wants to eat.
Exactly.
I think this is a great plan for Valentine's Day, Carlton, for any single listeners out there. I've always been very grouchy about Valentine's Day. And if I could just do that, a day of solitude, that sounds great.
Day of solitude.
So let's get into the recommendations that you all have brought to us here. Danielle, start us off with Cafe Europa.
Yeah, so Cafe Europa, you'll find me there probably once a week dining alone. It's the closest restaurant to my house, so it's just easy to swing by on the way home from work. But I love it because it's such a neighborhood spot. The bar always has a lot of single people in there, so you definitely don't feel out of place if you're dining alone. The bartender, Susan, is really personable, so if you don't have anyone else to talk to, she'll definitely keep you company. Or if you come in with a book or your laptop, no one will bother you either. And I think the food is great. I really like the steak tartare just to kind of nibble and have a glass of wine. And then all of their entrees are great, too. But it's a great place just to stop even for just a little snack on the way home, I suppose.
So this is a dining at the bar type dining alone experience.
Yeah, and I prefer to sit at the bar just because you don't feel as awkward, maybe taking up a table. There's other people to chit chat with. It's good people watching, and it's just kind of an easy place to dine alone.
Liz, do you have a favorite restaurant bar on your list?
Ooh, I have a couple, actually.
Yeah,
so
go
one,
for it.
Yeah, one of them is Sava, which I adore. I mean, it's a great place to go on your own because it feels very kind of like romantic, low and warm lighting, but the bar feels like a very cozy place to just sit with a book or maybe chat quietly with the bartender. It's not a boisterous space necessarily, but they also have really great crisp shoestring French fries and real aioli, not mayonnaise, and really great sparkling wine by the glass. So you can feel really sophisticated even as you're like stuffing French fries into your face, which is what I'm, you know,
that is
here
a really
for.
Good combo in life.
Yeah. Plus, I think you had Caitlin Corcoran on the show a while ago.
We did, yeah.
And she has this kind of radical approach to hospitality that she's instituted there. Mm-hmm. So this is something that if you're like nervous about dining alone because you're worried about like people mm-hmm. coming on to you or bothering you when you'd like to be left alone, the staff knows to shut that down if it's mm-hmm. if you're getting unwanted attention. So I love Sava. For similar reasons, I really love the bar at Grunauer, and kind of getting back to that idea of self-love, I do think that like the best antidote to feeling lonely is feeling yourself, and the bathroom lighting in Grunauer, I've said this before and I'll say it again, is so good. Like every hour
you
is
know
the
what?
Golden hour.
You're right.
I feel so great when I go in that bathroom. So go to the bar and order like a Weiss beer so that you can, it's like your ticket to admission to the bathroom, and then order the French fries, which are also great and come with like three little dipping sauces so you can feel fancy.
Oh, and that's a place that I think the ambiance can kind of set your mood for your self-love experience, too.
Yeah, I guess both of those places have kind of like dim, sedate, but warm lighting that kind of gets
you. Like
you
really are taking yourself on a date.
You're taking yourself on a date. Yes, thank you, Gina.
Okay, let's hear what our listeners recommend for dining alone. We're going to talk to Skip in Prairie Village. Hi, Skip.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What do you like for dining alone?
I actually love going out to breakfast. I'm retired, go out pretty much every day. One place that I like is Jerry's Cafe, 103rd Street, South Kansas City.
What do you like about it, and particularly as a solo diner? Or breakfaster?
Very friendly. I'm sorry?
Oh, sorry. I just corrected myself. You're a solo breakfaster.
Right, right. Wait staff is friendly. The menu is, you know, pretty much dietary, which I like. I get everything from just your basic plate of eggs to lox and bagels, things like that. I like all those things.
Thank you, Skip, for that recommendation. We have not talked about breakfast alone. And I wonder if anyone here has thoughts on good places for breakfast alone.
I would like to recommend Gigi's Barbacoa in Kansas City, Kansas. So this is the perfect place to dine alone because they only have about 8 bar stools anyway. So if you go with a group, you might have to wait. But if you go alone, there's almost always a seat. They're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And their breakfast menu, their breakfast chilaquiles are amazing. The owners are really sweet. So again, just there to keep you company and make sure you have a good time. And it's a really cozy little spot to dine alone.
Carlton, you have also a couple of more casual dining alone destinations like Burnt Ends Barbecue.
Yes. Burnt Ends Barbecue is, and that's Burnt End.
Oh, sorry. Burnt End.
Well, I have to correct barbecue. Myself all the time.
Because you just want to say it.
You
want to
say Burnt Ends, but it is Burnt End Barbecue. I like it because it's not a restaurant per se where, you know, you're seated and you go in, you go to the counter, you order. You can sit by yourself at a high top. You can sit in a booth. You can sit at one of the tables. It's not, you know, white linen. It's just very casual. And you don't really think about, well, I'm here by myself because, you know, you're focused on the barbecue, actually.
It's all business.
It's all business. So, yeah, you're focused on the burnt ends. You're focused on the fries. You're focused on the sides. It's just, who cares? Just enjoy yourself.
And you don't have to worry if there's a little stuff on your face.
No. Barbecue sauce on your cheek or anything like that.
You're not there to impress anyone.
No.
Gaslight Grill, you also have a little bit of a casual dining experience for us there, too.
Yes. So this is actually one of my new finds. You know, you hear about certain places and you hear about them. I'm going to go one day. So I did go to Gaslight by myself. When I walked in, you know, usually the bar is one of the best places to go. But the bar was kind of loud. So I was like, no, I don't want to go into the bar. So I sat in the main dining room and it was very quiet. I could still hear the bar area, but it was very quiet. I was in the booth. I had my fish and chips, which were wonderful, and I had this wonderful upside-down apple pie.
Upside-down apple pie, tell me more.
Yes. So the
Because I think you should get dessert when you eat alone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Don't skimp on yourself.
Right. So the upside-down apple pie is a slice of apple pie, and they flip it over, literally, and they put on top of it caramel sauce, nuts, so it's got a very crunchy, nutty kind of topping. And then, of course, you have to put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top.
You have to.
Oh, you have to.
Let's talk to Laura in Overland Park. Laura is calling not so much to recommend a place, but to, again, really evangelize the dining alone experience, which I think we can't do too much of today. So, Laura in Overland Park, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm calling mostly just to give Kyle a you go guy because he talked about dining alone, but he still seemed a little bit shy or maybe a little bit embarrassed about the fact that he dines alone. But I love to dine alone, and so I'm in his camp, and I dine alone when my husband is out of town or if I'm traveling, and I find myself just really enjoying the experience. And I also especially like to read a book while I dine alone, and I find it very relaxing.
Well, Laura, thank you for that call, and you can call 816-235-2888 to get in on this anti-Valentine's discussion about dining in restaurants alone. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. The Food Critics will be right back on KCUR's Central Standard. I look around, and once again I'm on my own. My man in here, he's gone and done me wrong. Girl from having fun, I throw my hands up high and have a party for one. I'm having a me party. That's right. We are having a me party on KCUR's Central Standard with the food critics who are recommending great places for dining alone. If you haven't tried it, maybe you should. We have a listener who, in fact, on Twitter has given us a shout out saying, listening to the Central Standard critics talk about eating alone is great. In fact, I'm taking myself to a solo Valentine's Day lunch date today because I love me most of all.
Cool. The gospel.
That's cool.
The critics in this conversation are Liz Cook, Carlton Logan, and Danielle Lehman. Hi again, you guys.
Hello.
Hi.
So let's get back to our recommendations for especially good places to go for a solo date with yourself in Kansas City. Liz, Bob Wasabi.
Yes, I love Bob Wasabi. So sushi bars, it's in general a great place to go by yourself because it's pretty common to just be sitting up at the chef's counter on your own. No one is going to give you weird looks or, you know, give you undue attention if you don't want to call attention to yourself. And I love Bob Wasabi in part because I think it has some of the freshest sushi in town, but also because it feels very casual while the food itself is still like super elemental and beautiful. So I highly recommend going and sitting at that chef's counter where you can have this glass case full of fish in front of you. You can watch Bob, you know, choose. So order the 6-piece chef's sashimi is my advice. And then Bob will choose for you and you can watch him kind of select the fish and carve it elegantly for you. And it's just so simple and elegant. And so I think it's like the best way when you're dining alone to kind of lean into the simplicity of a good thing.
And then Danielle, you've got a chef's board, which is sort of in some ways a similar idea to a sashimi platter.
Yeah, I think so. So food halls, in my mind, are the perfect place to eat alone because there are a lot of people. First of all, there's no reservations. There's a lot of people eating alone already. So you can kind of pop around, try different foods, order whatever you want, and then sit in a communal space. So I'm recommending Norcini at Strang Hall. He has a chef's board on the menu that is perfect for eating alone because it kind of just comes with a selection of meats and cheeses and pickled vegetables. You can take it over to the bar, order a glass of wine, and just spend some time soaking up the environment.
So then, Carlton, tell me about your experiences eating alone at Tres Omare.
So Tres Omare, I have eaten it several times, and I like Tres Omare because it has several areas that you can dine in. There's the main dining room with booths and tables. You can go into the bar and be seated by the fireplace, which is nice and warm, especially on a day like today. There are just several areas that you can go to.
You have nooks.
Yes, nooks. I look a lot for nooks in a restaurant. I want a special little place where I can, So I do have several nooks at Tres Omare.
They need to put a plaque up for you. Like Italian restaurants sometimes will have plaques at their regulars up in the booth. They should have one for you.
The Carlton Logan nook.
Yes, absolutely.
But a nook is kind of, when you talk about your days of like reflection, your days of solitude, a nook, what better place?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because it's not in the middle of things. You're kind of secluded and you're away from all the attention, if there's any attention at all. But just where you can kind of be.
Okay, so that's Tres Omare. Cindy in the Northland is calling us with her insights on dining. Well, I'll let her tell you what kind of dining it is. Cindy?
Hi, everybody. Yes, this is Cindy. I also enjoy Tres Omare. I liked hearing that same story. It's a beautiful place. But there's also a place in the called The Reef, and it's at Tiffany Springs and I-29. It's a small place. It's fun. The decor in there, you feel like you're sitting in a big seashell, but it has a small bar, and he has a happy hour oysters on the half shell. But anyway, I hear a lot about you guys saying alone, and I like to tell my friends that I dine solo.
Why do you prefer to say it that way?
I think alone is negative, and I don't feel like I'm alone. I'm with everybody around me and myself, so I feel it's negative. And some of my friends will say, oh, gee, you'd like to go out alone? And I go, I'm not alone. I'm solo.
Hmm.
So maybe it's kind of a negative connotation.
Well, it depends. Huh. I guess maybe I appreciate where that's coming from. Like, solo is like a virtuosic performance. And so there's something to be said for that. Like,
I'm making my debut.
Here I come, world. But yeah, and alone, I mean, whether that is a positive or a negative maybe varies from person to person, and that's an interesting idea to kind of think about. I get the feeling that the people in this room don't actually think of alone as a negative word.
I don't, but it's interesting hearing Carlton talk about his experience of nooks, because for me, I kind of look for the buzzy kind of bar atmosphere. And so I never feel like I'm alone, but I also don't really like to be alone as much. I don't enjoy that as much. So I think it just depends. I mean, that's the cool thing about dining solo, is you can go to an environment where you feel like surrounded by people and an energy, or you can find a Carlton nook.
I kind of understand what she's saying in terms of sometimes people equate alone with you're lonely.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm dining by myself solo, I'm not lonely. I'm making the choice, as opposed to something happened where, oh, I'm eating alone, poor little me. I'm choosing, so I don't have to argue with someone. Okay, where are we going to eat? Oh, I don't want to eat there. I choose to eat alone.
You know, it's interesting because I don't feel the self-consciousness of dining solo or alone, in part because I have worked in restaurants and I'm so used to the atmosphere as not like a someplace I'm going to meet someone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of second nature to be in those atmospheres. Maybe that's also part of it, is just how comfortable the restaurant feels to you for whatever reason. Whether you are comfortable there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe this is evidence that we all just need to practice.
Practice, practice, practice. Let's talk to Royce in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Royce.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right.
What do you want to share?
Well, I just wanted to kind of share, I guess, one or two restaurants that I really like eating at alone or solo. Urban Cafe on 50th and Truce, and then Ruby Jean's on 30th and Truce. It's really super nice places right in the middle of the city, right on the east side. Urban Cafe used to be a few blocks down in the 40s, on 41st, and it was more of like a cafe, coffee shop type of feel, and they took like a year and built a whole new place further up the street, and it's really like, it's kind of upscale, you know, you can get reservations and all type of things, and they have events going on, but they have really good vegan and vegetarian options. It's really friendly, family friendly. It's clean. It's just a super nice place, just right there in the middle of the city. So,
well, and you like these for dining alone especially?
Yes, yes. I like to go there. I have my laptop with me, get on the Wi-Fi, order some chickpea tacos, and just sit there for hours just by myself.
Yeah, the laptop solo dining experience is a version of it. And Danielle, you've mentioned that too. What makes for a good place to go when it's just you and your laptop?
I think, honestly, anywhere that has a bar. I travel a lot for work, so when I am traveling for work, I usually bring my laptop with me if I don't feel like talking to anyone else. And as long as they have good Wi-Fi, I think it's a perfect place to post up and work.
So, Liz, why don't you tell us about the restaurant at 1900 and why that works for you as a solo dining destination?
Yeah. So I guess I should start out the gate by saying, like, I think this is like playing on hard mode when it comes to solo dining. Like, you got to work your way up to this, but it's worth it. Like, this is like the ultimate expression of self-confidence, I think. So if you go, and don't do this if it's busy, if it's crowded. Don't eat up like a whole table if it's packed on your own. But if it's not crowded, there's this corner banquette in the restaurant that you can request. And you can see the whole restaurant from this perch and kind of watch it like a stage play. And the interior of the restaurant is beautiful. So it's very stimulating. You're not going to have to like stare at your phone or read a book to feel engaged. But it's also stimulating in terms of the food. It's always like elegantly plated and super colorful. So I love the Mezze at 1900 just because it's a plate full of different textures and colors. And the other reason I love recommending this is that they have a designated pastry chef, which is not a given anymore, unfortunately, who is great, Elizabeth Paradise. And all of her desserts are similarly creative and special and well composed, and they'll just feel like you're engaging something special, as opposed to, like, I think we all talk about like desserts in the terms of guilty pleasure, which I hate. So I think this is a great way to reclaim dessert as like, no, it's a special thing for you.
And when you describe the banquette, I kind of picture those guys in the Muppets who are up in their sort of like perch and they can like watch the whole scene. And restaurants, as we spoke about earlier in the show when we were talking about Charles Feruza, they are such scenes. They're settings for a kind of theater.
Yeah, they're little theaters, absolutely.
Let's talk to another caller. We have Eli and KCK on the line.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air, but you have just a little time, so go fast.
Awesome. I'll make it quick. I just wanted to say I love this concept. Whoever came up with the idea to do this on the show, give them a round of applause. Eating solo, I suppose I should call it, is a good hobby of mine. And anytime I talk to about my friends, it invariably devolves in just spare me your pity. Don't knock it till you try it. It's awesome. I do it as often as I can.
Where do you go?
My favorite place is the Phoenix downtown off 8th.
Why?
I think just the combination of the atmosphere, it's always a vibrant crowd. The live music, you can just go up right and talk to the band or make conversation with the bartenders, who are all awesome. Clientele is great. And I think even if you're dining alone, it's a shared experience.
Okay.
Amongst the whole restaurant.
Alone, together. Thank you, Eli. I've got to just quickly, because we have just a little time, lightning round. One last recommendation and a fast one. Carlton.
EJ's has a little nook next to the bar.
Danielle.
Brookside Poultry Co. has the friendliest staff.
Misab in Midtown. It's a great excuse to get messy where no one can judge you.
Our time is up, and the list of the best restaurants in town for eating alone at a table for one or at the bar will be at kcur.org over the weekend. If you follow KCUR on Twitter or Facebook, you'll see it in your feed. Danielle Lehman of the Open Belly Podcast, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Liz Cook joining us from The Pitch, thank you.
This is so fun. Thanks, Gina.
And Carlton Logan, this has been really fun. Thank you so much, and enjoy your days of solitude this year.
Thank you.
Carlton is the administrator of the Facebook group Kansas City Eats. He also writes for KC Food Guys. You can find any of the shows you missed this week at kcur.org/Central Standard. Our show on hair discrimination was a good one. Check it out, kcur.org/Central Standard. This show is produced by Melody Rowell, Mackenzie Martin, and Noah Taborda. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Paul Nyakatura is running the board for us this week, making us sound great. And our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Over and out.